question, what do you want?
You keep coming up with the question, what do you want?
Yeah, that question keeps coming, even in my meditation.
What do you want from what?
I don't know. Just said, what do you want? You even asked me that question, what do you want?
What do you want from what?
That's just the question that came to you. You've asked me that question when you came to.
What do you want?
From within.
From yourself.
Yeah.
Now, we are not talking about wanting something from the outer world. We're not talking about wanting a better job or better relationships or better money or health or all these other things, which are fine. We're not talking about that. When you put your plug into the right socket, you have perfect flow. But if you put a 220 plug into a 110 socket, you get nothing. And you put a 110 plug into a 220 socket, you get a blowout. You get problems. And if you have a plug that has the wrong prongs on it and won't fit in the sockets you got, that doesn't work either. Now, that doesn't mean the power is not there and always there and ready for us to enjoy and utilize for whatever we want. No discussion whether it's right or wrong or good or bad. Stick your finger in there and you get quite an experience, you know. You might move on to another dimension. But that doesn't make the plug bad. Doesn't make you bad. Doesn't make your finger bad. Just mean you have misused what you have. Or you have not used what you have properly. Now, they're always having science fiction stories about people who are scientists and they're working in their laboratory and accidentally, they get a big jolt of electricity. It goes through the whole body. And they turn into a Dracula, or they turn into a Superman, a Spider-Man, or some other wonderful creature of comic strip fame. You know. Well, now, that's not a joke. That's not a comic strip. That's not, it's an illusion, as all things are, an illusion, but that is a reality. Now, if you had the ability to look on the other dimensions of life that are traveling all around you and that you are living in, you'd be amazed. You'd be surprised, delighted, because you'd just think, how could that be? Well, it is, because whatever we can think about, whatever thought passes through our mind, came from somewhere. It came from an existence on some dimension, perhaps this dimension. And because it came from a strange direction, a strange dimension, we say it's ludicrous, we say it is fantasy, we say it's not real. And it is very real. But how do we make it realer? How do we make it something that we can touch? How can we make it something that we can experience? We spoke of Leonardo da Vinci and how Leonardo da Vinci was doing his thing. And I suppose we should check to see. We spoke about Leonardo da Vinci, how he was doing his thing. And drawing, you know, pictures of helicopters and diving bells and many other things. And on the hieroglyphics of the pyramids are many evidences of life forms and objects that had not at that time even been considered. And in the Maori caves of Australia and New Zealand, the early people who lived there, having no contact with a world that would have such devices, have pictures of them there. Now, these things just go to show that the universality of items has always been, always will be, and is something that we can work with, it's something that we can benefit from if we want to just tune into it. Now, science fiction writers tune into it, and fiction writers tune into it, and people who have fantasy-type thinking tune into it. Because even though fantasy thinking sounds like an unstable mind, sounds like an off-balance person, it really is a revelation of information from another dimension of space and time. Now you say, boy, you sure get around a lot of things that people say is one thing or another. Yes, that's true. That's true. We get around these things because who said that that is foolishness? Who said that that is nonsense? Just a person who does not have an imaginative mind. Just a person who would say that Einstein was a fool, or that Edison was a fool to think that electricity was possible to be used in the way that he suggested using it. And all these things were thought to be irrational, and are thought to be irrational by people who don't understand them. And of course, that means most of us. Because most of us, we don't live in the land of illusions, we don't live in the realm of fantasy. And if we did live in the realm of fantasy, then great things would happen. But how can we train ourselves to not necessarily live in the realm of fantasy, but to live in the realm of
reality?
Isn't that a good word?
Yeah, reality.
How can we train ourselves to live in the realm of reality? Well, the first thing we do is to open up our consciousness. We spoke of this the other day. First thing we do is open up our consciousness to the fact that reality is fantasy, and fantasy is reality. Any thought that we are capable of thinking, any thought that we are capable of thinking could be a reality, could be something real for us, is real. It is something that is very definitely available to us. Now, how do we start doing that? By playing games. Now, when a person plays a game of chess or Scrabble or any game at all, crossword puzzles or who knows, they are in the world of fantasy because they are just taking concepts and putting concepts together to be something. Now, they're dealing with principle. A chess game is a series of principles. The rook, the knight, the queen, the king, the bishop, they all have specific duties to do. And they can only do those specific duties. And if they are in the way of something else that has its specific duties to do, they are taken out of the game. They are removed. They, in real life, they would be killed, so to speak. But it's just a game. And so they're removed, and then the game goes on. Now, how wisely are the players in the game going to use their men, and use their pawns, and use their pieces? How wisely? Now, you take a game of crossword puzzle, or you take a game of Scrabble, you take a game of mental agility of any kind, and you're dealing with words. You're dealing with language. You're dealing with concepts of that nature. Now, if you are a brilliant person and you have studied a great deal of in the language of words, you've studied a great deal in the language of philosophy and ideas, then you are able to do fabulous things. You're able to do great things. But if you go into the etymology of words and find out how words are created, you can use words that never perhaps were printed, but yet they're conjunctional words that can be put together, like solar, and they can something affected by the sun. And you can use all sorts of words, and they come from many different roots, but they are used in the English language. As long as they're used in the English language, they're acceptable. You can't use words from other languages because everyone wouldn't have the same ability. Well, okay, just put that limitation on it. Just the English language. And you're just using words from the English language. Well, now, these words can be more diverse than any dictionary can ever publish them, because every word can have an addition to it, like a substantive, a subversive, subsistence. You see, all the sub is the word, and it has all those other aspects tacked onto it. Now, if you're in the thinking zone, you know, if you have a sub, and then you start using the words you have on your Scrabble game or on your word game, and you begin to put them together, you can come up with some magical things. And then you come up with something that somebody never dreamed. They never dreamed possible. But it's a real word, because it has just not been conjoined in your particular experience or in my particular experience, but it is there. And that's just how fantasy is. Fantasy is the idea that it takes a possibility and makes it into a reality because it says, why not? Why not? Now, if you can take tea and you can make that tea into a beautiful medical instrument that is going to be beneficial to people's health, why not? So, you go out here and you get some sage, or you go out here and you get some manzanita bark, and you peel it off, this red bark, and then you cook it, and you make a tea out of it, and the Indians will come along and say, oh, that's medicinal. That heals this and that and the other thing. They have all sorts of things that it works to heal. And you say, oh, come on now. And they say, okay. You know, they don't argue with you because they know. Folklore people who work with folk medicine don't argue. They just know. And they don't have to argue because they just know. And you see, that just knowing is what makes fantasy into reality. Because then you do great and wonderful things. Now, we were reading in books that go back to Atlantis and Mu and talk about that time that Plato wrote about where this section of the earth disappeared under the water and just, you know, dissolved and blew up and stuff, and before that happened, the people there had used their minds so beautifully, so perfectly. Atlantis was just a marvelous country where people lived in houses that were invisible right out in the open, you know. And they just like were one with nature. And then when they wanted, the walls were there. If they ever, and if rain came, then they just tell the rain to go away if they didn't want it, you know. Whatever they wanted to do. And they had a bus that, I don't know why they would have a bus, but they had a bus to take them around places, and the bus would just be there when they wanted it and take them where they wanted to go and be there when they wanted to come back and take them where they wanted to come back. And it was an unlimited capacity that it would hold. Well, now, that's great. That's great for people who like gadgets, for people who like buses, you know. But when you have the ability to do that with your mind, why bother with a bus? Just see yourself where you want to be. But maybe you like the socialization of being on a bus and talking to people and sharing and being driven somewhere and, you know, playing the game. But you see, this is the limitation we have. We think that just because we think of it one way, everybody else should think of it one way. When we think of it any way we like, everyone can think of it any way they like. It makes no difference. It makes no difference at all. And if you want a bus, you can have a bus. If you want to just be in thought, you can have a thought. If I wanted to speak to my neighbor here, and I surround him with my pure white light of love, and I make everything this side of the fence invisible to him, wouldn't that be interesting, you know? He would look over here, and he would see nothing. He would not see trees. He would not see the mountains. He would not see anything. It'd just be like nothing, the end of the world. And wouldn't that be interesting? Now, I would not do that to him because it would blow his mind. But this is what the early sailors did. They saw the end of the world. They saw nothing. When the sea ended at the horizon and the sun went down and dropped straight down, they thought, my goodness, you know, that's the end of the world. The world is flat. But you see, all of these interesting things that we can do with our mind, the interesting things that we could do with our world. We can create everybody in our world harmonious and beautiful and loving, but the spice of life sometimes is are these little experiences that show us whether we are touched, show us whether we are moved by these things or what we're going to do. You know, it's very fascinating, isn't it? Very fascinating.
Peace.
Yeah. And you see, this is the joyous thing about it. This is the joyous thing about all these things.
This comes to show you one has to be very careful of their thoughts and what they want. You might want something. Is that what you need? Is it the best thing for you?
And what difference does it make? If you get it, so. If you don't get it, so. What difference does it make if we made the world invisible? What difference would it make if we made everybody friendly? What difference would it make if we did these? You see, in my world, everybody really is friendly. In my world, everybody really is a delight. In my world, when little experiences come along where someone might have a tendency to be discourteous or not nice, I just surround them with my pure white light of love and let them be. I mean, and sometimes other people get a little uptight about it, and they think, you know, and like you yourself, you get a little tight about it, and you think to yourself, you got rights, and blah, blah, blah. And that's true. But it's like in driving your car. You're driving down the road, and you have the right of way. And somebody pulls in front of you, and you have the right of way. They should not be there, so you just plow right into them. Well, now, you could be killed. You could be hurt. You could create a lot of problems for the other people who were not living according to principle. And why would you do that? Why would you rather stop and say, bless you, and let them go their way, and then you go your way? Because there's no time. There's no space, but our self-righteousness, you know, and feeling sorry for ourself attitude, those attitudes can blind us to a harmonious way of living our life, of living our life as a master, you know. And my goodness, goodness, you know, we have to be very careful.
But sometimes one can help you, direct you to your needs, if one can see through you.
Direct you to your needs?
Yes, to your needs. You might want something, but really, that is not good for you. So somebody has to point you to the right direction.
You've seen that happen?
Yeah, if people listen. One, it could be from within, then from someone else can be used and an instrument to point you to the direction if you let them, by being open and receptive and not fight.
True. True.
And this is one of the reasons I'm here.
True. True. Open and receptive. And this is one of the reasons I have you here. Because life is filled with so many beautiful adventures, so many beautiful experiences. All we have to do is just let go and let it happen. Let go and enjoy it. Now, how does that help us in our reality domain?
In our reality domain, you look at it, I am divine order. It's lost in.
Now, why is it that we feel so sensitive about judging, that we want to judge? We want to determine that, for instance, I am divine order. Why is it we don't say, I am not divine order? Do we ever say that?
No.
I think we say that far more often than we should. We say, I am not divine order, when we're facing a challenge that we feel is beyond us. Right?
That's when we let our human be in control.
That's right. That's when we are possibilities instead of reality.
Realities.
Mm-hmm. Now, a reality situation would be what?
He's done.
It is done. And I think that's a perfect expression. The reality situation is, it is done. There is nothing more to do. But can you, can I put ourselves in that position where it is done?
Yes.
How?
Thought that is done. By thinking, you are thought that the idea is done already.
The idea is done already, okay. And knowing the idea is done already makes it done?
Yeah.
How does it make it done?
You are spiritual, you've seen it happening by your mentality.
It's finished by your mentality?
Yeah.
That's nice. But what about people who continue to face a problem that's finished by their mentality?
You work on it, I'll picture the situation, visualize the situation is done. I'll picture it, let go and let.
How do you work on it like that?
Unconditional love.
And how do you get unconditional love going on something where you're uptight and upset about something?
I changed my attitude about that. Well.
And how do you change your attitude? What do you do?
Well, knowing who I am.
You what?
Knowing who you are. I am.
It's like the queen going to the prince, and the prince is beating his horse, and the queen says, son, or prince, you know, son, why are you beating your horse? He said, well, the horse misbehaved. And the queen says, well, give me your whip. And the son says, okay. And then the queen starts whipping the boy, you know, and he says, why are you doing this to me? And she says, well, in thought, you are misbehaving. Misbehaving doing what? I'm the prince, I can do anything I want. Well, I'm the queen, I can do anything I want too. But why would you think I think that you're misbehaving? Well,
I'm judgmental.
I don't know. Yeah? Well, I think you're misbehaving by hitting this horse that didn't do anything to you. And not whether he did or not. That horse does not deserve to be hit by anybody. Nobody deserves to be hit by anybody. And so when you hit something, then you are just taking out your unhappiness on something else. Don't even kick a stone. Don't even do anything that is misbehaving. And the prince says, but you do. And the queen says, no, I don't. Show me one time where I have. Well, you hit me. No, I didn't hit you. I used the stick on you like you were using it on the horse. I did not hit you with the stick. You could say, if you were looking at me, that I hit you. But I was demonstrating to you what you were doing to the horse. If I wanted to hit you, then I would really hit you, you know. I would hit you so well that you couldn't sit down for a week, you know. Now, that is hitting you. But I didn't do that. I only demonstrated to you what I did not approve you doing. Well, if you didn't want me to do it, you shouldn't do it to me. And you're right, son, I shouldn't. I shouldn't do it to you. Now, what should I do to you to remind you to follow the principle? What should I do to you to remind you to follow the law? What should I do to you? And he says, well, take away my allowance, you know, that sort of thing. And she says, well, that's not quite enough. What do you think I should do? I don't know. Well, I think I'll take away the privilege of you riding your horses for a week. Oh! Well, then perhaps you can go out and talk to the horses instead of riding them and tell them how much you love them and get to know them and have a different relationship with them. No. You see, principle works. But we have to be careful that we don't do in like kind, because then we're in trouble. And we get in trouble too often because we want to do in like kind. We can only hurt ourselves.
So in that situation, you work on yourself and not the person.
That's right, you work on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Because law of cause and effect
is definite. Now, how does that fit in with finding yourself? How does that fit in with your reality expression, your reality domain?
Domain is not just going quickly into deciding this is what I want to do, this is my possibilities. I've got to think very carefully.
Yeah.
And considering the cause and effect of what I'm thinking, that is my possibility.
Yes.
And I have to use the inner teacher to go within, to direct me. And in some situations, I need an outer teacher who will be in the same line of my principles.
Now, I'm going to ask you a very mean, stupid question. Why would you ever need an outer teacher if you have the teacher within you?
I haven't actually. The inner teacher, you have to develop. A child has to crawl to walk.
Now, I don't give a hoot and holler in hell about a child that has to grow. I'm concerned about Christy saying that she needs an outer teacher sometimes.
Everything is there.
Everything
somebody is, to direct me to actually.
Everything what?
Everything I need is there. I don't really need any.
Is there?
Is there already?
Is there, right. That's
it's
right.
For me to explore and
that's
tell
right.
them. The outer teacher is just as a catalyst.
Now, what is the catalyst? How do you know that somebody in the outer is going to be the kind of catalyst you want?
But within me, my inner teacher would direct me to do my
well, why doesn't your inner just catalyze you?
Sometimes things happen. Nothing happens by chance.
What things happen that sometimes makes
migration. I've created that person to be in my life to direct me. See, migration.
Someone who upset you, you created them being in your life.
Because I created good or bad, I created it somehow.
And you deserve everything that happens to you then?
Definitely.
No.
Oh.
Everything that happens to you continues to happen because you keep creating that person in your life.
Mm.
Now, you don't deserve anything. You see, even when you do something, so to speak, wrong, you merely are getting the result of the law and cause and effect, not the result of some irrational, deserving condition. You follow me?
Yeah.
The word deserving, unfortunately, goes along with the feeling sorry for yourself, you know. So, now, if something happened to you that you didn't like and you responded poorly to it, then why would you be responding poorly to it? Because you had not trained yourself to be a master under all circumstances, you know? And if you didn't train yourself to be a master under all circumstances, then these things can get to you. And if they get to you, then they possess you.
Then that's where you need a teacher to train you fully.
I am not opposed to teachers. I'm not opposed to guides or helps or whatever. I am only opposed to one word that you're using, and that is that you need it. You don't need anything. You choose it because it's a comfortable thing to do. But given enough time, you'd come to that conclusion yourself, and you want to sort of speed up the conclusion, which you can do without a teacher. Now, I am not against teachers. I don't want that point to be there. I am for the fact that you have within you the greatest teacher that ever could be. And that teacher does not have had other experiences, which gives them a different point of view. Now, your teacher may have been raised in Egypt and studied Egyptology and all that kind of stuff. And you may have been raised in New York City and you were raised in that philosophy. So then your teacher comes along with the Egyptology stuff and says, well, in Egypt we did this, in Egypt we did that, in Egypt we did this, and in Egypt we rode a donkey, or in Egypt we rode a camel. In Egypt we didn't use cars because, you know, we didn't have much streets for them. In Egypt, and you say, well, I'm from New York, and we had cars and streetcars and buses and elevators and all that good stuff, you see. And so your teacher would say, forget that for now. I want you to think with me without all those things. Well, why should I think with you without all those things? Because that's where I came from. Oh, I should go back into your limitations and your experiences to find myself. Well, that's where I found mine. And if you want to find yours the way I found mine, then you have to go through those experiences, you see? And is that what you want to do?
No.
I wouldn't think so. No. So, the only thing I have against teachers is that a teacher can only teach you what they are. And you are what the teacher is and more.
That's interesting. But you have to develop yourself now.
That's right. And how do you develop yourself now?
Listening within you and acting from within.
And what do you do when it's raining outside?
Look at it, this rain is actually going to water the flowers, bring out the crops, soil and fruits come out of it.
Yeah.
And nourish our body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's something, it's a blessing. The rain is a blessing to us. So I see it as a blessing.
And the rain is another thing too. Our choice.
It's our choice as well.
And the rain stops as we make the choice.
Yes.
It's going to stop anyhow, sometime, sooner or later. So why not have it stop when you choose?
Because I was reading in the Songs of the Spirit, what do you do with the cloud? Do you want to make the cloud disappear, or do you want the cloud to turn into the rain, to water the soil, and all those things? So everything is by
choice. Interesting, yeah. Very interesting. Richard Bach has that experience with Donald Slotin in the book you're going to get into there.
Yeah.
And they come to a brick wall, and Donald Samora, the reluctant Messiah, is upset with Richard. Richard, you don't walk through a wall. You don't do things like that. And then, tuck, he went right through the wall. And it sounded like I can't move. Because he felt, Richard saw the wall as one thing and Donald as another. Donald was one with all substance and merged with it and you know, was part of it. Richard, here's a wall and here I am. Boom. So you'll enjoy that. But as you read these things, they're fascinating reading. The books will just charm you as you read it, and you read it very quickly. But it's got a lot of hidden stuff, a lot of subtle things in it that you could very well miss because you're enjoying the book so much, you know. Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. But again, I think it's very important, and that's why I'm spending a moment on the idea. We have the only teacher that's ever going to teach us within. I could come up to you and say, do this, do this, do this, and I'm your teacher. And you say, you know, stick out your tongue at me and you go and do whatever you please. Okay, now, teachers come and go in our life. Some of them we like, some of them we don't like. When we don't like the teacher is when we don't like to learn. When we like the teacher is when we like to learn. And if the right teacher comes along at the right time, if the teacher comes along to teach us at the moment that we want to learn about universality or reality, wow. If the teacher comes along and we want to learn about reality, and the teacher is teaching another level of consciousness about seeing, and seeing the original purity and integrity within people, you know, and you say, yeah, sure, you know, well then you won't get the lesson. You see, you've had a lot of lessons in your life, as we all have. And these lessons are on many levels of consciousness. And there are times, and you know, you'll remember those times, there are times when we said, poof, 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 you know, that can't be so. Or, boy, oh boy, that's hard to believe, you know. And by our very saying those things, we have cut ourselves off from learning that experience now. So, whenever a learning experience comes along, say, great, how do we do it? How do we do it? Let's go, 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 you know. Instead of saying, walk on fire, all you do is burn your feet. And then become a protagonist, and you look for all the little problems. Well, look at our feet. See, they're dirty in the bottom. Well, if you want it to be clean, it'll be clean, you know.
That's very interesting. Thank you.
But that's the teacher aspect that I bring to your attention. Because if you are looking outwardly for a teacher, that's all the more reason to look within. If you are looking within for a teacher and you can't see it, then that's because your consciousness or your teacher thinking is on the outside.
I agree with you in that aspect, because some organizations, the actual teacher or the leader do not actually inform their congregations how they got their power or the principles they work. So some of them tend to be worshipped.
That's right. Like Jesus. Mm-hmm.
So I agree in that perspective. Yeah. I agree with you
yeah.
on that point.
Like Jesus, Buddha, and all the successful gurus. And then when they have a problem, and they get on the cross, you know, and they all are going to have this problem. As long as somebody is worshipped, then they're going to have the potentiality of feet of clay and potentiality of being knocked off their pedestal. Because that's just the way it is. And you'll find that true of everybody who is being a laid-back teacher, you know.
And you are within you will tell you you're wrong or you're right, because you can tell people what they want to hear. Mm. But within you, you know what you're saying.
Sure.
It's not the right thing.
Sure.
Unless somebody who has developed very well to see through you.
That's right. And because of that, then what happens?
Confusion.
No. That's yes, but no. Because of that, what happens is you stop having an experience or learning. You see, confusion, yes, but the thing is, the worst thing is that you stop. You give up. You understand that?
Yes.
And when you give up, then the show is over.
And sometimes as well, when you are learning and you are practicing to use your inner self, the world around you is another situation. Then
which is a stimulus. It's a stimulus. It's a catalyst to make you act one way or the other, either positive or negative. It doesn't care. And when you are untouched by that catalyst, and you just look, well, it's like our girl in the movie. She was herself going through perhaps one of the most difficult times that anyone could ever go through. She knew she was going to die in a given amount of time. If we don't know we're going to die, we don't think about it, you know.
This is the point I would like you to repeat again. How do you go through challenges? How do you get over those hurdles? It's very good to be going through your ears every time. It's something you need to be hearing every time, because it goes a long way. So could you go through that again?
Yeah, well, the thing, how do you manage or work with challenges has many facets to it. And one facet would be you're working with a challenge, you let the challenge be what you're working with. Now, can you help me there? What should I say?
I am peace.
That's good. But I said challenge.
No, you have to.
And you said, what word would you use? Solution.
It's a solution. You go for solution, not challenge. It's not
but
a problem.
That's what I wanted you to say.
All right.
You were the one who brought up challenges.
Right.
And you're going through challenges. Okay, well now, what are we going through?
Solutions.
And you see, the minute you say solutions, it takes all the burden away. Because then there's a solution. What's the solution? You know, there is a solution. Now, what's the solution? Well, the solution is, I am peace. I like myself. Always in divine order. And when you say that, you know, it's a relaxed time. It's a relaxed time. When you say that.
I must admit it works for me. It makes you relax. You're not tense. You're not going to get your adrenaline pumping.
Mm-hmm.
Because some situations, you know you're right, and you could see it coming, but flow with it.
Yeah. And you get to be at peace.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is what it's all about. Because if you're not at peace, if you're not harmonious with yourself, then you really got a problem. Now, if you're going to look at life as one challenge after another, then you're looking at it as one dead end after another. If you look at life as a bunch of solutions, then everything works and flows in perfect harmony. And all of that unhappiness, poof, it's gone. And all of the feeling of being put upon or being stepped on or walked on and being misused just goes right away. But it cannot go away so long as we keep giving it power. So we take our attention and take it away from the challenge. Now, you have this challenge of this man in your office who is on again, off again. And what is he, probably a custodian or janitor or something? He's nothing. Okay, this person is in your world and he's a challenge. And so, but what do you do about him? Now, are you going to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear?
No.
Yes. You're going to take that person who seems to be a challenge and you're going to make him into the most wonderful blessing of your entire life. You're going to tell the girls in your on your staff that that man is a very wise man, a very intelligent man, a very capable man. All the things you would like to see him utilize in his own life. He is a thoughtful, considerate man. He's always looking to make everything happy for everybody. He's always looking to bring joy into the world. He is always looking to find a place to add another smile on a person's life, you know. He is always coming in and wanting to be realistically helpful. In fact, he has extra money, and he has been putting it aside for years, and he's got lots of it. He's got, $100,000, $200,000. And in our hospital, in our particular thing, we need a series of, let's say, computers, and it's not in our budget to have it. And he said, well, I will buy them for the hospital. I will buy them as a donation to go right into this hospital, into this system, and you order them, here's the money, and they come. And you say to yourself, wow, you know, that guy from him, you know, but you don't say that. You say, that guy, he has so much good in him. You see, now, that's just one area, but you continually offer the man the opportunity to be delightful, to be charming, to be uplifting, to be supportive, to be a good person. But if you feel he is intractable, you cannot move him from the negative field that he's in, then you've lost it. But if you see him already done, being a benefit and a blessing to your hospital, to your maids, to your nurses, to your staff, and so forth, then it is done. But if you look at the problem as a challenge, and him as a challenge, then he will remain that way. But If you recreate him in your mind, and you create him in your mind as always being beneficial to the organization, being beneficial to you, that he's in love with you as a role model, okay? He's in love with you as a role model, and he thinks you're just the ideal senior nurse, you're just the ideal administrative nurse in that hospital. He thinks you're just fantastic. Now, would it hurt to think like that?
No.
And would that bring the results and the direction? Now, that's in every area of your life, whether it's this one individual, or whether it's your job, your salary, or whether it's you are given a month off every year, vacation with pay, and you are given a sufficient staff so you never have to take work home at night. You do all your work in the office and do it easily and nicely and wonderfully. You have two assistants who handle all the little itsy bitsy paperwork that you have to do, and all you do is read it over and prove it and sign it, you know. And so it's done. Sound good? Okay. Well, create that. Create your budget as having that. Or create yourself having two volunteers work in your office who are exquisite secretaries who can do the work that needs to be done in a perfect, wonderful way, and they're available now. And the impossible becomes possible when you take away the impossible. You see? Take away the im. And let it be possible. Because that's your reality. Your reality is a smooth-flowing, fantastic life filled with places where you make it even more beautiful, you know? Like Irene in Switzerland, she would go into her patients, and they would be somber because they're all getting ready to die. They're the older ones that she's working with who are, you know, have terminal, what have you. And so I said, make them laugh. Get in there and make some fun. Laugh. And so she put on a red nose. She'd, hey, you know, and they all, who's that? Oh, that's you, Irene. What the fuck did you do? You know, and then the next thing you know, she found that they changed. Their attitudes changed. Their ideas about themselves changed. Some of them decided to live to the, not desire of the rest of their people, but some desire to live. And so she just kept doing that. Then she got so excited about this, she went to clown school. And now she's learning to be a professional clown, as well as a nurse. And she's learning a lot of things she doesn't understand, but what it is teaching them to be untouched. But she doesn't understand that that's how they're going about teaching. Everybody has their own little way of doing things. And she is learning that she goes in there with a totally different attitude about herself and about her patients, who are her friends, and they get out of bed and go home, you know, or they are fantastic, they're wonderful. But what's her reality? Her reality is laughter. Your reality is laughter. Your reality is wholeness. Every single person that you meet in your clinic, in your hospital, in whatever activities you do, as well as at home, as well as your sister, their husband and the families, because I mean, you're counseling with everybody in a very subtle, if not so subtle way, you know. You see yourself as a stable, joyful, beautiful being. And when you go into Chioma's home, you go in there like a lovely blessing. Not that you're trying to train the kid, not that you're trying to train Chioma or anybody else. You're just going in there because you're a love, and you're a bubble in that house. And everybody loves to have you there because you don't stick your nose in their business. You just see everything fantastic and good, follow me? Now, wow, if every relative could be like that in every home, what would happen to those homes? They would be magic places. And this is the way you and Chioma work. You work as a magic place there. And Ibuwe, too, you work with him as a magic boy. And he just never ceases to delight you in little things that he does. And Ugo is the same way. He just never ceases to delight you. And all of the friends that you've made over the years that you go to visit from time to time in their houses, their apartments, or whatever, you come in and you're like a ray of sunshine. Not because you're making them happy because you're sad, but because you are always glad. You are always living in this high state of consciousness. Now, that is in your reality. See, your reality is that you are there now. Your reality is that you see through all illusions to the original purity and integrity. Your reality is that all is in divine order now. Makes sense, doesn't it? Really nice.
That I am divine order.
I am divine order. And what happens when you say, I am divine order? What happens is you're holding perfect, okay. Now, from what? You're holding perfect from what?
From
why did you need to become whole and perfect?
I'm already whole and perfect.
But why did you need to become whole and perfect? I'm giving you a hard time. Why did you need to become whole and perfect? I didn't. I am whole and perfect. I'm also whole and perfect. Well, why do you say I'm whole and perfect? Because I'm always saying I'm whole and perfect.
To nourish myself.
Yeah, when I say I'm whole and perfect, it reminds me to look at me and everybody else in my world as being whole and perfect all the time. I'm always saying that. I'm saying I'm wonderful. Of course I know I'm wonderful. But why do you say it? I say I'm wonderful because I'm wonderful. I say I'm wonderful because I'm wonderful. Well, why do you say you're wonderful when you're wonderful? You don't have to say you're wonderful because you're wonderful. And being wonderful, you don't have to say you're wonderful. Well, I like to say it. It's just like saying, are I beautiful? Don't I look wonderful? Am I a happy person? Oh, it feels so good to be a billionaire. A billionaire. It feels so good to be a billionaire. Oh, come on now. Billionaires don't act like that. Oh, you don't know. Try it on for size. But, yeah, how do you try on being a billionaire for size? Well, just pretend. Just pretend you're a billionaire. Don't go spending it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Just visualize the beautiful gowns you're buying, the beautiful dresses, the beautiful slacks, the beautiful hairdos you get, the beautiful massages you get. Just visualize the beautiful trips you take around the world on a yacht or whatever it is, or the beautiful this or that, or the helicopter that pops you in and out of places when you want it. You know, you want to go shopping, so you just ring up the helicopter and say, pop over. And he picks you up from your backyard, and he takes you over to where you want to go, and drops you where you want to go on the roof or in the parking lot, and then he waits or comes back when you want him. And when you're ready, then you just take out your cell phone, you say, Henry, I'm ready. And then there's Henry with the helicopter. And he knows right where you are because he's got you on his GPS. And his global GPS, yeah, global positioning center. He knows right where you are. Isn't that neat? Now, that is sort of fantasy talk. What? Time? But that's fantasy talk. But isn't it wonderful?
It is.
Do you have fun?
It's wonderful. I really enjoy the talk. It's really good. It's a daily, everyday challenges which is now turned to solution. And have to rise above it and become a winner.
And when you do that, you got it made. Yeah. Nice, huh?
Relaxed and happy.
Always. All right. Time for us to go up. We have